Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'm doing good. And a little peek behind the curtains. Yeah. I would just like to share this because something just came to me just now, Shane. For everybody that doesn't know, we're using StreamYard, and then
yeah. You
set it. So what I do is I set the, you know, we're gonna go live at 7 Eastern, 6 Central.
Yes.
And there's a countdown timer. And the last time, Shane was about 2 minutes early, and he said, well, hell, has there always been a timer? And I was like, yeah, it's been there since we started the show. And it just now hit me, Shane, the reason you've never seen that before, because, hell, you're never here on time.
That's right. I cut it close, man. I mean, I came in sideways. I think there was like 5 seconds left on the counter. So, yeah, I like to cut it close, Mike. You know, and honestly, I've been ready. You know, it's like, it's not like all of a sudden I know we got a 7 o'clock show. It's 6 o'clock and I keep looking at the clock like, oh, okay. So about 6:45, I need to take the dogs out. You know, it's a routine that I do, but I do find myself kicking back some of those chores later and later to the very end. I need to clean it up. I know it's on me.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I just thought that was funny. But hey, buddy, we've got, like you said, some SEC basketball action. Mm-hmm. It's heating up. SEC tournament right around the corner. Hopefully some of y'all will make it out to Nashville. I know Shane and I will be there eating all the hot chicken.
Yeah. You could
possibly imagine. There's been some talk, Shane, of SEC scheduling for football. So we're going to dive into that. And I do have, Shane was eager. He's like, how many clips you got? I said, I don't give it to him. I want him to be surprised. We got some clips here for three different teams coming up here on the channel. So thank you, Shane, for doing your part and for fixing the screen there. But hey,
I saw a little too much, cousin Shane. I was like, how do I cover this up?
But how's everything going for you, brother?
Going good, man. I mean, awesome games last night. I'll tell you that, brother. I say that every night. Seems like every Tuesday and Wednesday, I know exactly what I'm going to be saying the following day. And we got a pretty big slate now, you know, for tonight's game. So don't spoil it for me. You know, I got it recording in the other room. But yesterday, I just thought it was interesting. We talked about three teams that needed wins, and they got them. You know, I think that was the big one for me, making it tougher and tougher to decide who gets into this tournament and who doesn't.
Yeah, so let's get right into the action, Shane. Number one, Auburn. Maybe not number one anymore because they failed at Texas A&M. I still think Auburn is clearly the best team in the country, probably still a favorite to win it all. But senior night down there in College Station, Shane, they took care of business 83-72. This is the first time Texas A&M has ever beaten number one in basketball. How about that, Shane? And Auburn did not lead at any point in this game. Right when the game was ticking down, Buzz Williams out there, don't storm the court. We need it for all the help we can for NIL. I thought that, you know, that's catching on. And one other thing, I mean, this can't be the first time this has ever happened, but it kind of blew me away. Wade Taylor, their outstanding point guard, his jersey got added to the rafters in the pregame. So, I mean, it's still an active player. I got nothing against it, but I just thought that was an incredible scene. It clearly motivated the Aggies last time on this court to go out and beat number one team in the country after, you know, they've been down the last couple weeks, but now they're right back in there and they're letting the nation know how they're as good as anybody.
Yeah, I think about this time last week. You know, the sky was falling, and since then it's been on fire, and you knocked out the number one team in the country. And again, I don't think it was necessarily a must win, but I think it was a must win for the fans, you know, to really buy in that, hey, this may be a special season for them Aggies. So you knock off number one, you change your tune moving forward. So the main thing is you just can't take your foot off the gas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You haven't arrived yet.
No, yeah, certainly not. And another team that can't afford to do that and it's not yet arrived, Shane. See what I did there? Yeah. Arkansas, come on, on the road. They're heating up. This is what Calipari always does. They start slow and then they're red hot at the tail end of the season. They go on the road, really take care of business against Vanderbilt. 90-77. This is was Arkansas's fifth quad one win of the season. So I think Arkansas now firmly in the NCAA tournament, still probably need to get another win or two, just, because there's always those teams that are not in the picture and then they win their conference tournament or something and then they knock a bubble team out. So I think Arkansas's in, but maybe still work to have done there, but a massive, massive win for Calipari and company.
Yeah, not an easy place to win either. This is a place, you talk about storming the court, they've done it several of times, and I feel like going on the road, I don't want to say the biggest, but it was definitely up there because, again, we're getting into that crunch time and people remember, we're early March. When they're making these brackets and they're trying to decide who gets in and out, I think that's very important that you can go to a place like Vanderbilt and get a big win.
Hey, shout out to Texas Traveler. He's saying we should hit up Dusty Slay. Yeah. Shane, apparently he does a hot chicken. I'm a fan of his comedian. I follow him on the social medias and everything, but I didn't know he had a hot chicken show. Maybe we can get Cousin Shane on the Dusty Slay show.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Tag him. Get me down there. I can't wait, man. Next week we'll be eating hot chicken, drinking cold beer, watching college basketball. I mean, could you pick a better scenario right there? So I hope all the cousins that get down there, be sure to follow, have those notifications on, because when we go live, you'll be able to find us there on the strip. You can't miss me, Mike. You can't miss me.
Hey, shout out Jacob. I appreciate the donation. He said he was at the game. It was special. And I believe it was Jacob who asked us about A&M's media deal that we couldn't answer. But good news, right? I talked to Billy Lucci.
Yeah.
He's in. So we're going to see him at SEC tournament, and we'll do an interview. So we'll go on a full deep dive on all that next week. And another huge win, Shane. Georgia takes care of South Carolina. This was, again, South Carolina was favored. So I thought that was pretty wild. But 73-64, this is one where Georgia had to get the W, stay in that NCAA tournament conversation. They're another one. I think they're in. May have to get another win or two come the SEC tournament, what have you, so that they can insure themselves. But I think firmly in. And did you see what their head coach Mike White said after the game, Shane?
Uh-uh.
He said, not only is the SEC the best damn conference, he's saying it's the best conference in the history of college basketball. He's talking about this year specifically. So that's him making his case why Georgia should get in there. You know what?
I love it. This is what you got to do. Always be selling, man.
Hey, and that reminds me, man, did you see this? I don't talk about this guy that often because I don't give two shits about what he's got to say.
Yeah.
But did you see old Danny Cannell?
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to go there, but yes, please. Anytime we could shit on Danny Cannell, let's do it.
Okay, well, shout out Greg Sankey, the commissioner, of course. let's see if we can get this rolling here. So Danny Cannell, he's just saying, the SEC's overrated. That's his shtick. That's what he does all the time. Shout out Greg Sankey. Here's his response. Help to explain why the SEC is quote unquote overrated. 30-4 against the ACC. Whoa, he says. 14-2 against the Big 12. Oh my. And 10-9 versus the Big 10. And 185-23 in non-conference games. Although he will admit the SEC's 500 since January 4th when they started conference play. So it's not often, Shane, where we get the damn commissioner of a sport dunking on a loser like Danny Cannell. But shout out Greg Sankey. I thought that was great.
Sankey don't come out of the box often, but when he does, it's hilarious. So I would just love to have been in the room before he fired off that tweet. I bet he had the whole family reading it saying, oh, this bastard's gonna love this one.
And then, hey, shout out Texas, Shane, big win on the road.
Yeah,
they needed it because they were big on the outside looking in. They beat them 87-82 in overtime, and Texas had a little bit of a meltdown at the end of regulation, but they dominated the overtime period. So, again, are they in the NCAA tournament? you know, that remains to be seen. They may need to get another win or two, but they are firmly in the conversation. And, you know, I hate to keep repeating myself, Shane, but hell, I think the entire conference may get in the NCAA tournament outside of South Carolina and LSU.
Yeah, they can still buy a ticket, you know? I mean, too soon, sorry.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, I just talked about LSU. They just got pistol whipped by old Kentucky,
95-64.
At one point in the second half, Shane, Kentucky had doubled up LSU's point total. So Kentucky's getting healthy at the right time. Mm-hmm. They're getting hot. This is what you want to see if you're part of Big Blue Nation.
Yeah.
And, man. Things are trending up heading into the SEC tournament. Here's the updated standings, Shane, for the SEC tournament. Auburn, of course, Florida, Bama, and Tennessee, they all currently have the double bye, so they would not start play until Friday.
Yep.
The other byes, so these are third teams that would start on Thursday, Missouri, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Kentucky. So that's where your current SEC tournament standings are. And like you said, we got a showcase game here. It's already tipped off as we're recording
here. Easy.
Number 5, Florida. Number 7, at number 7, Alabama. That's a hell of a game. Alabama's a 3.5-point favorite. Missouri, number 15, Missouri, at Oklahoma. Rivalry game, Shane. Come on, Missouri. Favored by 5.5. And Tennessee later tonight, Shane, number 4 Tennessee on the road at Ole Miss. Tennessee favored by 2.5 points. It's going to be another fun night of SEC basketball.
Oh, yeah, it will be. So, again, don't ruin it for me, but when we get off here, I get to watch them Tennessee Vols win. So, hey, I'm looking forward to it, brother. Again, just a reminder, I'll be up there Thursday and Friday. Probably going to be heading out Saturday. So hopefully we can see the cousins there in Nashville. And hey, thumbs up, subscribe on the show. Appreciate it. We got a lot of awesome content coming out this weekend as well. Just want to keep you guys plugged in for that. Got a little man named Steven Garcia coming on tomorrow. Going to have some cold beers with him. So I'm looking forward to that. And I know Mike's got a couple of jewels too, but also in studio, great content coming up. So I know it's kind of the spring, kind of the off season, but we got so much coming to you.
Yeah, come on. We're working over here. We're working for you guys. You know what? That's basically the point of the story. But you know who's working for us, Shane?
Who's that?
Cousin JR. Come on.
Come on,
JR. Just gifted another membership. It's time to Tony Canada. Tony, welcome to the family. Thanks to the legend, JR. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Celebrate that big Georgia win. You know what?
I hope JR, you better be coming to Nashville. We got to eat some hot chicken together.
Yeah. Watch the dogs.
Hey, you never know, man. They may win the damn thing.
All right. Hey, let's kick gears to football, Shane.
Uh-huh. Can I pause you for 1 second?
Yes, always.
Because again, I'm really new to this basketball game. Let's say hypothetically, South Carolina wins the SEC championship. Do they get in because they won the SEC tournament?
They're automatically in the NCAA tournament.
Okay. I was just making sure, you know. So
we've got a path to 15 getting in, perhaps.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be the ultimate? You know, just fall on the grenade. So Sankey's like, just get one more SEC team in there.
Shout out Cousin Trey. He says, how much beer did you have to buy a Steven Garcia to get him on?
It's a ton. Absolute ton. So I met my match, Mike.
Any other SEC tournament questions before we roll on?
No. I think that's nailed it. I'm sure I'll have a few more when I get down there.
I thought you were going to go, do they sell hot chicken at the stadium? But no, we got you covered where we're going.
The stadium's a little bit different, man, because it's like an obstacle. We tried that down in Atlanta, and I wanted to eat one of them fancy meals, but it's just like, we got to get to our seats. We got to get to, you know, it was just move. So I think here's going to be cool because we're going to be able to stop in, have some cold beer, and then move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, hey, toughest schedules in not just the SEC, the country, Shane. Again, maybe I don't know if these are 100% accurate, but this is, you know, Bill Connolly, he's been doing it a long time, first at SB Nation and then now at ESPN. So his model spat out the toughest schedules in the entire country, Shane. I don't know if you've seen these, but 12 of the top 13 schedules in the country come from SEC. Every single one of them's in the top 25. And it's like something crazy, like 15 of the top 18 or something crazy like that. So if you had to guess who has the toughest schedule in the entire, not just the SEC, but the country, which, you know, it's the same damn thing. Who's got the toughest schedule, you think?
It's got to be Nebraska, right? I mean, all this Matt Rule shit.
I don't even think they're in the top 50. You know, they play in the Big Ten.
No, toughest schedule in the SEC, I give, man, it's close, brother. I'd give it either to Florida or Oklahoma. I would say Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, come on down, brother. We're going to have some, that's the bad news. We're going to have some good news here in a minute for Oklahoma. But yeah, far, you know, again, this is according to Bill Connolly. Who knows how accurate this is, but man, stuck with the damn gauntlet here in the SEC. No surprise by me that Oklahoma's been assigned with Michigan in the non-conference, of course, your first home, first league game, Auburn, but you do get it at home. And then how about this final stretch here, Shane? Texas, of course, on the neutral field, at South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee. You get a bye there. Then it's at Alabama, Mizzou at home, LSU at home. That's tough sledding right there.
Brother, I think they've scheduled the toughest SEC teams. I mean, short of maybe A&M and Georgia, you know, I think other than that, it's the pretty damn tough. You look at Auburn, people saw this schedule last year and said, well, Auburn's a win, South Carolina's a win. And then those are two teams that we think are going to be coming out of the gates hot in 2025. So, yeah, brother, this is a damn doozy. And it does not get – I mean, Michigan is one of the easiest games on your schedule. And right. I think you drop September 6th, then the wheels start falling off because – it does not get easier as soon as SEC play kicks in.
Big Money says, send them back. Send them back.
Did we get the wrong Big 12 team?
All right. So, hey, number two was right where you were, you know, you were a little bit torn there between Oklahoma and Florida. So, again, this is just Bill Connolly here. But number two, toughest schedule in not the SEC, Shane, the country, Florida Gators. With man, they got the Land Sharks right out the gate. You can't take them. South Florida, which damn near beat Alabama. Let's not forget last year at LSU, at Miami, who now has Carson Beck. Get your bye. You're home for Texas at A&M, Mississippi State at home. You get another bye. Georgia on the neutral site, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee at home, and Florida State at home.
Yep.
I think this is the only reason that Shane is not buying the Florida hype.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with I don't know what Miami is. And South Florida, I obviously they gave Saban a fit, you know, but you got to remember, they've got one of the best offensive minds in the country. And this is a team that's going to sneak up and bite several teams. They may not have the talent of the SEC or the Florida Gators, but they're very, very dangerous. And but I just feel like the big one for me with the Gators is I don't know if there's a tougher start to the season than what Billy Napier and company are going to have to do. Not just South Florida, but like you said, on the road to LSU, on the road. Well, that's not really a bad one. Miami. So 20 people show up. And then you got Texas. It's like right when the season starts, it ramps up quickly. And I know Billy's not on the hot seat, quote unquote, but you know, all that changes if the season doesn't start like you want it to, you know?
Oh yeah. No, his ass will be right back on the hot seat, Shane. All the goodwill he got last year could be gone if they don't get that corrected right out the gate. So number three, buddy, a team that does not need a difficult schedule at this current time. Wild guess. Who do you think? And again, this is third in the country, not just the SEC.
Third in the country, doesn't need a tough schedule right now. I would say I'm going through them. Auburn?
Close. No. Arkansas. Oh, buddy, we got Notre Dame in the non-conference. We got Arkansas State in the non-conference. We got App Memphis. Who in the hell signed up for these teams? This is one landmine after another. Of course, they do get Alabama A&M, so we'll give them that. But then at Ole Miss, at Memphis, Notre Dame at home. Then you get your bye week at Tennessee, who's looking for revenge.
Yep.
A&M, you finally get that at home. Thank the Lord, I mean, but good night. We might be decimated by that time. Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, bye week at LSU, at Texas, and Missouri at home. Give his schedule to Georgia Bulldogs, Shane. Brother. I don't know if they come unscathed here.
No, and I feel like with Arkansas, it's the away games for me. It's Ole Miss, it's Tennessee, LSU, Texas, Memphis even. These are some of the games that I feel like Arkansas, to have a successful season, needs to steal a couple of, and that's easier said than done. So, yes, this is not the year to have a tough schedule if you're Sam Pittman, but, brother, they got one.
Right, and I mean, they're sitting here saying, well, hell, seven wins ain't good enough, you know? Mm-mm. And I'm not saying that should be, but I mean, if it's given this schedule, buddy, good luck. You know what?
If I see one more damn Liberty Bowl, I mean, I'm glad we're bowling because obviously there's years that we weren't, but come on now. It's time to get to a good bowl.
Now, number five, again, not just SEC, the country, Shane, fifth hardest, Vanderbilt. Come on down. We got the Bucks week one. I keep calling that ETSU, but I think it is. Let me just double check that because I don't believe it is ETSU. It is old Charleston Southern. Same damn thing. At Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Georgia State. Oh, the SEC curse team. Utah State at home. At Bama, looking for revenge. Bye week. LSU at home. Mizzou at home. At Texas. Auburn at home. Then you get another bye. I hate these byes for Vanderbilt. Why are they both so late? Kentucky at home and then at Tennessee. If Vandy is going to anchor down, Shane, at back-to-back bowl wins, they're going to have to earn it.
Yeah, they really will. This is another one that I feel like's got a couple of these swing games.
Yeah. And,
you know, when you look at their schedule, Virginia Tech, you beat them last year, yes, but you're going to be expected to lose that game. You're going to be expected to lose the South Carolina game. Vanderbilt, they have to go up that hill, man. It's like you got to get more than just one good season to be considered a favorite, to, you know, for people to really buy in. But, right. Mike, brother, if they end, let's say, September 4-1, 5-0, I mean, brother, I think that's what dictates how successful this season is going to be. Is mainly that first month of the year.
Mm-hmm. All right, number shout out Cousin Sven. He's down here like, by God, how will we not have State? he wants the schedule to be even number one. But we got Mississippi State. Looking for the schedule. Da-da-da-da. Okay, here we go. Number six in the country, Shane. Mississippi State, which tricky non-conference here. Mm-hmm. Southern Miss away at Southern Miss for some reason. Right out the gate, Arizona State, which just went to the playoff, Alcorn. We need to flip Alcorn and Southern Miss. Let's see if we can get this to happen. NIU, which just beat Notre Dame, who went to the national championship, mind you. I don't know how good NIU is, but that's the only thing I know about them. Tennessee at home, at A&M, get your bye. Then you're at Florida, Texas at home, at Arkansas, Georgia at home, at Missouri. And then a bye the last week of the season. Ooh, why the hell did they get a bye there? I don't know. And then you get the Egg Bowl at home. So, I mean, even this one where we're like, we're five schedules deep here. Jeez. But this could be the toughest schedule in the country.
I think they had the toughest schedule last year, Mike. And how do they not have it this year? I mean, you know, the problem is it's like as soon as SEC play kicks off, there is no downtime. Tennessee could be a top 25 team. A&M, Florida, Texas, at any point, Arkansas could be in there. Georgia, Mizzou, Ole Miss. There may be a real shot that they play nine top 25 teams this year. Maybe like five top five. Shit. I mean, this is a tough one right here, brother. And I think Sven is onto something here. After seeing this, I want Mississippi State to be number one.
And he makes another good point, Shane. They got four teams that made the college football playoff last year. Show me another one that's doing that. I don't know that there is one. And factor
in their last bye is at the end of the year, right before the Egg Bowl. It's like, right. No, we're going to keep playing right through this, and then we'll give you a little break before you have Lane Kiffin and company. Jeez, no favors.
Number seven, Shane. South Carolina always have a difficult schedule up there in Columbia. Virginia Tech in Atlanta, South Carolina State at home, Vanderbilt at home, at Mizzou, Kentucky at home. You get your bye week. You're at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Alabama at home, at Ole Miss. You get your bye week. A&M on the road, Coastal Carolina and Clemson both at home to round us out. Man, I'll tell you what, Shane, there ain't an ACC, a Big Ten, a Big 12 signing up for this damn schedule.
Nope. And Virginia Tech, I swear, they're doing everything they can. If you can't be in the SEC, just schedule them all, you know? So, kind of what it feels like there. But I like the way it's set up here. I think the buys are perfect. I think the home field advantage could be monumental this season. Yeah. For them to have a real run, there could be no – I mean, Oklahoma, Bama, Clemson, these are games you've got to – Vanderbilt, don't sleep on Vanderbilt, even though I just kind of slept on them. These are – you win those, man, then you're looking at four away games, true away games, and that's Mizzou, LSU, A&M, Ole Miss. You find a couple of wins there, guess what? You're back in playoff contention.
And I think all the road games are winnable. I'm not saying you're going to win them all. Mm-hmm. Hell, if you win all your road games, you're going to the college football playoff like a lock. But I'm just saying, Mizzou, you beat them last year. LSU, you beat them till they cheated your ass. Not LSU, the refs cheated you. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, total rebuild, essentially, for them. And then you dominated A&M. So, again, I'm not saying you're going to win all those, but I wouldn't put it past them to win any of them. You know what?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not like we're building a brand new team up there in Columbia. So I think you like this schedule. I'm kind of surprised it's as high as it is.
Well, how about this one? Number eight in the nation, Shane. These are all top 10. Come on, Kentucky. Come on, damn. Mark Stoops needed him a bottom 10 schedule, but he's got a top 10 schedule with Toledo right out the gate. Steven says Toledo's the team to beat in the MAC. So. Good Lord.
The year you get them.
You get Ole Miss, who's looking for revenge. At least you get them at home. Eastern Michigan, you also get that. So, I mean, opportunity, prove a lot of people wrong. You get on a heater, perhaps. But good luck keeping it, because then you get a bye week. You're at South Carolina. You're at Georgia. Then another bye. Then you got Texas and Tennessee coming to you at Auburn, who whooped you last year. Florida at home. Tennessee Tech at home, at Vanderbilt, and at Louisville. And, man, there's a lot of teams on here that beat you last year on the schedule.
Right. And a lot of times you look, when we're talking SEC scheduling, you look at the four that are non-conference, and you kind of pencil those as wins. But like you said, Toledo, you can't really do that. You know, Louisville, you can't do it. They smoked you last year. You know, so I that's what I worry most about Kentucky, is like they need all the good breaks this year. And unfortunately, with this schedule, number eight in the country, it's going to be a tough road for Stoops and company.
Yeah. And then one team, Shane, is dying to see to get to the playoff, I think. How about them Tigers of LSU, Shane? Number nine schedule in the country, according to Bill Connelly. Mm-hmm. At Clemson, right out the gate. We can't win a damn opener. Let's make it even more difficult on ourselves. Louisiana Tech at home. Florida at home. Southeast Louisiana. We're racking up on Louisiana's, at least. I'll give them that. At Ole Miss, then you get your bye. South Carolina at home. At Vanderbilt. Texas A&M at home. Another bye. At Alabama. Arkansas at home. Western Kentucky at home. And then at Oklahoma. This schedule... This may be more difficult than some of the ones we've already hit on here.
Yeah. And with LSU, I think it's just the August 30th matchup for me. If they drop Clemson, then this schedule immediately gets tougher than I thought. You know, it's like right out of the gate, 2 years. This is be 3 years in a row. You cannot lose a season opener. If they do, LSU may be in for a handful here of losses. So they're not going to. I love the rebuild. I love everything they've done down there in LSU, but it's just when you got a lot of moving pieces, how does it stack? You know, first three games, you lose those two of them. I mean, could you imagine the damn rioting that would be going on in Louisiana?
Here's a bright side, though. I think all the home games are winnable.
Yeah.
But the tricky part is the road games, all potentially losable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe with the exception of Vanderbilt. But the last time LSU went up there, I recall they drank the stadium dry. But maybe after your conversation with Travis, you're starting to buy into Oklahoma. So, again, I don't think that's a given by any means.
No. But he's a hell of a persuader, I'll tell you that. And we got some clips coming up that I'm kind of like, damn, they may be onto something over there in Norman.
Yeah. All right, how about number 10? Again, in the country, Shay, not SEC. Number 10 schedule, most difficult. Give me them Aggies. Come on down. And this is even with some cupcake non-conference games. You got UTEP and Utah State back-to-back at home. But here's where it gets tricky. At Notre Dame, mm-hmm. then you get a bye to lick your wounds for Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, Florida at home, Arkansas on the road. Again, not Jerry World, but back on the road for this one. At LSU, another bye. At Mizzou, South Carolina at home, Samford at home, and at Texas. So they've got seven consecutive SEC games in the middle of this slate. Quite the gauntlet for the Aggies.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I just, even the last month there, when you talk Mizzou, South Carolina, Texas, these are three teams that were competing for a college football playoff spot this time last year, you know? So
yeah.
I think that's going to be the tail there, because A&M started out strong, ended bad. So I naturally go to the end of their schedule and say, hey, are we going to have a repeat? Is this a part two? So it does not look easy at this moment.
No, not at all. Number 11. Oh, buddy.
Oh, this should be a cupcake. We're at 11.
Alabama, who's just got opens with Florida State and against Georgia a couple games later. But my goodness, at Florida State, ULM at home, Wisconsin at home. Again, this is... They didn't do them any favors there. Bye week at Georgia, Vanderbilt at home, at Mizzou, Tennessee at home, at South Carolina. You get your second bye. You get LSU at home, Oklahoma at home, the Panthers down there. I think that's Georgia Southern maybe. And then at Auburn. But, man, this, again, on paper, Alabama should be winning the vast majority of these football games. But I think everybody they lost to last year, you can make the case they should have beat them too.
Yeah, yeah. And some of those close games that they did win, like a South Carolina, Georgia, now on the road, you know. So
yeah,
you're going to need some early momentum with this schedule. And I do kind of like, maybe this is why it's a little bit further down the list. You know, it's fun. You asked me 3 years ago, opening with FSU, I probably would have said, well, Alabama's got the toughest season opener. But mm-hmm. right now, you know, again, things change over one off season. But I do like this opening, man. I think Bama has a real good shot. I mean, they got a bye right before the Georgia game week four. This is they're going to be good and battle tested by the time they get into SEC play for sure.
Yeah.
Or fired.
Or Bruce, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you dropped FSU, you know, they're thinking, you know, dog shit FSU right now. So,
all right. How about number 12, Shay? Texas, mighty Texas. Mm-hmm. Because they got this Ohio State. We're probably bumping them up at Ohio State. What a game. What a damn game. Credit Texas for scheduling it like heroes. San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston back to back to back. All at home, get your bye week. You're at Florida, tricky game. Oklahoma, neutral site, of course, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, then you're Vandy at home, get another bye before at Georgia, Arkansas at home, and A&M at home. How about it, Shane? From September 27th to November 1st, Texas is not going to have a single home game.
Nope. Best games are on the road, man. In fact, I feel bad for season ticket holders. I got to watch this shit because best game is going to be Vanderbilt and maybe A&M or Arkansas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you will not see one good home football game until probably November, last week of November. So, yeah, I do hate that, but you start off with Ohio State. I think that's why they're like you said, they're kind of higher than you think, because that's worth almost two SEC teams right now, the way they played last season. So, yeah, going to be awesome watching that game. But I think Texas got off pretty lucky here. I think 24-25, the football gods have blessed the Longhorns, and 2026 may be a little different story. They may have to get some of this back for them.
Yeah, and last I checked, Shane, Kirby Smart calling out Sankey. He's got to give him some praise here, because now we got the number 13 schedule in the country. Marshall at home, Austin Peay at home, at Tennessee. Then you get a bye for Bama at home, Kentucky at home, at Auburn, Ole Miss at home. Get another bye for Florida in Jacksonville, at Mississippi State, Texas at home, Charlotte at home, and Georgia Tech in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz. So,
yep,
only three true road games. This is what Matt Rhule's bitching about. Oh, he picked the one team, Shane, that's got three road games. He said, in the SEC, they have three road games. Yeah, well, look what they did last year, buddy. I mean, at Bama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. I mean, it's got to balance itself out. But, yeah, I mean, this is – Kirby's got to be pretty thankful that this is a very favorable by last year's standards.
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, this is a breath of fresh air for Kirby Smart. And way I'm looking at it too, brother, is from a Georgia fan perspective, calm down, Gators. You're not going to be included on this list. I think there's three games, maybe four, that they're, you know, kind of worried about. But I think the three that, if you were to ask them, hey, which ones will probably give you a fit, they got all three of them at home, and that's Bama, Ole Miss, and Texas. Now, obviously, you got Tennessee on the road. I think that one's going to be intriguing because it will be early. We're going to have, you know, there's a lot of new moving pieces down there in Georgia. They're still uber talented, and I have no doubt they'll probably be the favorites going into that game. But other than that, brother, I think they've been handed a pretty nice hand here.
Oh, yeah. The number 15 schedule in the country, Shane, Auburn. Come on, Hugh. Got to deliver this year. We're in the back half, at least this schedule ranks. At Baylor, Ball State at home, South Alabama. You playing Ball State. I just now got that. All right, South Alabama at home. At Oklahoma, that's your first conference game. At Texas A&M, then you get your bye week. Georgia at home, Mizzou at home, at Arkansas. Kentucky at home, at Vanderbilt. Get a much-needed bye for Mercer at home, and then the Iron Bowl, Alabama at home. So, again, the schedule sets up quite favorably for Auburn, but they got to start hot. Can't let that Baylor one slip, and really can't let that Oklahoma game slip, I don't think, if you're going to have a really, really good year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. And this is, I guess, why I'm so high on the Auburn Tigers. It's just because of the scheduling. Because I've convinced myself that they can beat everybody in September, that they can beat everybody late October, you know. So, but again, all that changes if you trip with Baylor. All that changes if, you know, John Mateer is the next great quarterback to come through the SEC and he blows you up. So, or A&M, a team that always gives you a fit. So, I think this one looks good on paper. But we said that about some schools last year, and then the season played out, and we're like, well, we didn't realize that team was as good as we thought they were.
I think we said that about Auburn last year.
Yeah, I think we did.
All right, now these are the three, according to Bill Connolly, best schedules that you want to have, same as last year, Shane. Ole Miss, the schedule kind of killed them last year, kind of bit them. It was so easy. Number 23 in the country, got Georgia State. Again, why are we – Georgia State, get them off our SEC schedule. At Kentucky, revenge game. Arkansas at home, Tulane at home, tricky. That's a tricky first month for Ole Miss. LSU at home. Then you get your bye week, Washington State at home, at Georgia, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home, Citadel at home, Florida at home, before the final bye in the Egg Bowl at Mississippi State. So on paper, a manageable slate, but I think this could be a lot trickier than people are realizing.
I'm glad you pointed it out, Mike, because, you know, when you talk about returning production, Ole Miss was at the bottom of everything, offense, defense. They're going to be breaking in new places, new faces, and that's why I worry, because when you look at their schedule, the first 4 weeks, Tulane, that's a tricky one. Arkansas, nobody should schedule Georgia, especially week one. Kentucky, the team that just embarrassed you last year. That's the thing. Ole Miss started out last year with the easiest of schedules, with especially through the first 4 weeks. This one will be totally different, Mike, because every single one of them is a landmine.
Yeah. So
they get caught looking at LSU and Georgia and upcoming Florida, you know. I mean, all the fun little videos, you know, all that goes right out the window if you drop just one of those games, because you drop one, there may be another conversation at the end of the season, because your schedule is easier than most, why they should or should not be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't done Tennessee, Shane, number 24, most difficult schedule in the country. Syracuse in the opener in Atlanta. East Tennessee State. Yeah, I didn't even know they had a football team, Shane. Georgia at home. UAB at home. At Mississippi State, you get your bye for Arkansas at home. Little revenge game there. At Bama, at Kentucky, Oklahoma at home, get your second bye, New Mexico State at home, at Florida, and Vanderbilt at home. Tricky spots in this schedule, but as we go down each and every one of these, I could see why I think damn near everybody we've went through would say, hey, Tennessee, I'll trade you your schedule, and I think Tennessee would say, hell no, we're happy with this one. You know what?
We are, but I mean, we are facing dragons and cowboys with guns, you know, so there's some dangerous landmines on the. No, in all seriousness, it's the Syracuse one, the opener. You can't trip, but that's, I mean, I don't think, I'm not saying they're going to be a great team, but this could be a team that is better than you thought they were. ETSU, again, I know we joke, they're just right up the street here, but got some pretty good quarterbacks in that room up there. And then, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs. So you got that first 3 weeks. You got to get going, get the ball rolling, and then I think Tennessee will be fine. But, yeah, I kind of like this schedule. I'm going to try and make it tough. The fact that I just made ETSU sound like a tough football game, it's just me just being a Tennessee homer, I guess.
So you already know, buddy, the least difficult schedule.
There they are.
Bears. Central Arkansas. I got to remind myself every show what damn team that is. Kansas is home. Louisiana at home. South Carolina at home. UMass at home. Bye week before Alabama at home. All these that are at home. Then you're at Auburn, at Vanderbilt. Second bye before Texas A&M at home. Mississippi State at home. At Oklahoma and at Arkansas. Sign me up if I'm a Missouri Tiger. Let's make this run to the playoff.
Beautiful, beautiful schedule. And this is what you want. This is absolutely what you want. There's no reason to be upset if you're a Mizzou fan with this schedule. Brother, the games that you need to win, they're at home. There's some tough ones on the road, some swing games. Auburn, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Arkansas. I could sit here and tell you why they lose every one of those, but I could also sit here and tell you why they could win it. I love that it's at the end of the season. Brother, very, very nice schedule here. So, yeah, they are definitely the winners. Mm-hmm. This is the last one, right? This was 16, right?
Yeah, well, and number 25 in the country, according to Bill Connolly.
Okay. That's Bill Connolly's list. Don't forget, it's not SEC Mike's.
Yeah, exactly. But you know how all the cousins could be winners, Shane?
How's that, man?
Head on over to publicrec.com and put in that promo code SEC for 20% off your full order over at publicrec.com. Cannot recommend this brand enough, Shane. It's getting, I can't figure out this weather. I mean, one week it's hot, 1 week it's cold. Over here, they're saying it may snow in Nashville. So I had to put on my Public Rec. I got my pants on now. I'm about to throw on my long sleeve t-shirt. It's getting so cold, Shane. And thanks to our friends over at Public Rec, they got me sized properly. You can get your pants adjusted to weight and length accordingly, not just small, medium, large, extra large, what have you, but the actual fittings that you need. They got you covered over at Public Rec. Cannot recommend this gear enough. You know what? And most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC for 20% off your entire order.
They sell hats? Ask for a fat friend.
Hey, yeah. We'll get you a hat. You know what?
I went into, they opened up, I'll never forget, they opened up an Abercrombie and Fitch. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And the mall over in Knoxville, you know, and I've always been a big guy and I go in there. Of course, the smallest size they got is like a large. And so I bought me a toboggan because I was like Denzel Washington. I'm leaving here with something, you know.
So do you still have that hat?
Hell no, man. I did buy a shirt. And I kept it for like almost 20 years, man, because I kept saying, one of these days I'm going to fit in that shirt. Never did. And if I did, it's so stupid looking now that I don't even know if that's still a thing, if that's still a company that's rolling. So not going to be a sponsor of this fat show, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you who we do sponsor, Shane. That's the growing legend. This guy can do no wrong until he actually plays a football game. And then we'll pick him apart. Like, not us, but people will. How about this John Mateer? Let's kick it over to Oklahoma's new quarterback, Shane. I edited out the questions because it was so hard to read, but it, on his style of play, his toughness, the pressure is a privilege. That's something Nick Saban used to say all the time. At playing in the SEC, here's what John Mateer's got to say about all that.
I mean, I'll be honest. I used to struggle with the word fun on the field because if I'm not winning, like, it's not fun if you're not winning. We had a lot of success this past year, so it was fun. People say I have swag. I mean, you just play football. I have the ball in my hand every play. I mean, I get the opportunity to do something with it, and cameras on me all the time, so I guess I have swag. Some people say I have toughness. I just feel like I have an obligation to give everything I have for my teammates. I guess that's where that comes from. I'd say I'm pretty confident. I mean, pressure is, like you've heard famous people say, pressure's a privilege, you know, and it's a little cliche, but it's true. I think I get in there every day, and first day of strength conditioning workouts with the players, my teammates put me in the front of the line, and I really appreciated that, and that gave me some confidence. And then working out and seeing my teammates willing to come throw with me and work out extra and do those things gives me a lot of confidence in what we can do this year. But I wouldn't say it's pressure. I really enjoy it. I love football. So being in the building, it's not like, oh, I got it, you know, I love it, and I love being in the building all the time and meeting new people, build relationships.
You mentioned pressure. Can you go over your thoughts of pressure playing in the SEC against these types of defenses, and how big of a factor was that for you personally to come to a school like this playing in this conference?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think playing the best defenses is going to show me that I'm capable to do it or what I need to improve on. And, like, the timing is probably a little quicker. You know, watching film, you got to be more detailed because of the players that I'll be playing against, which is fine. Makes it more fun, even more of a chess match. Like I said, and it's gonna be fun. I'm excited for it. Now, will it be the easiest thing? No, but great atmospheres, great players, great coaches. It's the place to be.
All right, Shane. John Mateer scored 40 touchdowns last season. He's already becoming like the face of Oklahoma. They're putting him in all the promos. He's going to gymnastic meets. He's going to basketball games. Now that you got your first look at him, over under 30 touchdowns for Oklahoma this year for John Mateer.
Is that regular season only? Or are you counting the playoffs? Boom! Come on, Spinner!
Playoffs! Yeah! Okay, yeah, we count the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think we're going over. And I think they got a dude here, brother. I think they got to do it. I'm buying in. Now, he is going to be a gunslinger. He's going to make some mistakes, kind of like your old Brett Favre. I remember you growing up. That was Mike's favorite. And the guy was just absolutely astonishing at times. Now, there was some times that it was like, just hand the damn ball off. You know, I'm afraid we may have a few of those games, but at the end of the day, they got a dude in the locker room that will absolutely change the culture, change the trajectory. And it's coming at a perfect time because Oklahoma needs a lightning bolt. And I feel like Mateer can be that guy.
Oh, you revenge tour says this cousin Shane have a P.O. box. I'll get him a Mateer jersey.
Hell yeah, he does.
DM me. Oh, you get the Mateer jersey before me. Come on.
Yeah, you're out, man. You went all Longhorn.
But yeah, no.
Just listening to him, it almost feels like I'm time traveling back to the early 90s, and I'm talking to any premier quarterback in the SEC, you know, just like, I'm just going to go out there, grip and rip. You know, it's like, I think a lot of times we get, and of course, I'm going to be talking a little bit about this with Steve Garcia tomorrow. There's a promo clip. I'm thinking about, you know, it's the fundamentals. It's this, it's the Manning camps. And don't get me wrong. That's all great. But at the end of the day, either you're a winner or you're a loser, and you could have the form, you could be the greatest thrower out there, but I feel like what Mateer's going to be bringing is just the belief, which I believe is going to help everyone else around him believe. So, as they say, what's that funny show everybody watches? It says Believe, and he points at it.
Yeah, Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso.
Well, and it's funny you say that, Shane, because when you hit on the key thing there, winning, he was also asked, I don't have the clip, but he was asked about Heisman row or park, whatever they call it. I mean, it's incredible. We got to get you down there, but they have all the statues of all the Heisman winners there at Oklahoma. I've never seen anything like it because, quite frankly, no one else got that many Heisman winners like Oklahoma does. But they got seven of them there. Not only those, but they have the national championship coaches. They got the Selman brothers. It's like a damn museum right outside the football stadium. Yeah. But they asked him about, you know, do you think about that? You know, do you want to win their Heisman and all that? And he said, I want to win. That's what I came here to do. So I think he's got the right mindset too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Absolutely. And did you put Venables, that little clip you sent me earlier? I don't know if you put that in there, but man, this kid, I mean, it was like he had a new toy. You know? I mean, we were like this, couldn't wait to show your, like at Christmas, you know, how you go back to school and you're like, hey, check out my new shoes. You know, you're just so pumped up. I felt like that's what Venables was. Is like, did you talk to Mateer? Did you like him? Huh? I told you. So I just love the kind of the vibe that Oklahoma has here in the spring.
Well, yeah, I think old Venables was on one, Shane. This is the most enthusiastic I've ever seen the guy in a press conference here. He was asked about taking over the defensive play calling. You know, his defensive coordinator left for West Virginia. Why did he not bring in a coordinator? Why is he going to call the defensive plays himself? Let's kick it over to Brent Venables.
Yeah, well, every year's big, and for me, I know I've said that. I don't think people really like, well, that's just coach speak. But I go back to my first year when Bill Snyder hired me on an interim basis. You ever been hired on an interim basis where basically said your job's on the line? I'm watching everything you do, and your first screw up, there's no guarantee. And I'm also going to pay you pennies. All right. Well, that was my first time, and I was so thankful. But I've literally had that mindset my entire career. Every game's that way. Every day I show up, something's on the line. My job's on the line. I've had that for 30 years. I'm going to hire you. I'm going to pay you $30,000, and I can't promise anything that you'll last past the summer. All right? That's literally what I was told. And I said, thank you, God, thank you. And I've had the same mindset. And I believe, because I've had that same mindset, that I don't go like this, and everything's on the line. He's fighting for his job. You know, I've been fighting for my job every year. Like somebody's holding me under the water, trying to drown me. And that's been my mindset. That's been my attitude when I come to work every day. So nothing's changing for me. Do we need to be better? You're damn right. Does your mindset got to change? Nope. And why am I going to call the defense? Because I'm good at it. And I'm confident in it. And we've got a great staff. And if I'm going to be successful, if the players are going to be successful, if the product is going to be what we want it to be, it's going to be because of all of us. And somebody's got to lead it. I did that in 23. We made improvement in some areas, not as much as we wanted. But so I know what that looks like in managing game day and in season, out of season, the meeting room, practice field, all those things. I know what that looks like. I have a good feel for that. And many people do it at a really high level where they call an offense or call a defense and have a lot of success. No guarantees with anything, but it's a comfort zone for me. And I'm last year we went 6-7. I didn't call the defense, so that didn't work very well, right?
Oh, a little shot fired there at the defense coordinator who left, I think. But does it give you any extra confidence that Brent Venables is, I don't want to say going down with the ship, but he's gonna go out his way if he goes out.
Yeah, I mean, this is very Sam Pittman-esque. You know, at media days when he just comes out and says it, like there's no hiding behind it. And I think that was a hilarious comment, by the way, whoever did that, 45 years on the hot seat, brother. I feel like I'm on the hot seat every time I get on this show with Mike, but this is what you got to say. This is what you got to do. And this is why they made the moves they needed to make. You go out here, you get the best quarterback. You go out here, you get the best general manager. You know, you go out here and you make some damn waves, because guess what? You may not be here next year, but if you're going out swinging, things like this, these little things, these positive vibes that you've given us coming into 25 season, if this year doesn't go exactly like we planned, but it does show vast improvement, then we can look back and say, well, look, man, what he did in one offseason, give us another offseason like that, and we're right back in the mix of these things.
Right. And then we got one more from Oklahoma, Shane. Jim Nagy, why did he come to Oklahoma? This get me pretty fired up if I'm an Oklahoma fan.
Well, I told Mike I was going to mention this. The OU brand goes way back. So my first poster as a kid was Billy Sims, and my first jersey was Billy Sims. I was a huge Detroit Lions fan, so it wasn't an OU jersey, but it was a Billy Sims jersey. But no, an incredible challenge. You know, I mean, this is growing up as a kid wanting to get into scouting. I was so focused on the National Football League, and now these jobs are, you know, evolving in college football. And it's just a great, great opportunity, great place. Wanted to go somewhere where I could win championships. We could win championships, and this is certainly that place. So, you know, just ready for that next challenge. I mean, this is a really cool opportunity. I think a lot of schools right now are saying they're going to a new model, and maybe not really fully embracing a new model. And that's what I felt when I was here on the interview. I really felt that from the leadership here, that they were ready to embrace this. And I'm just excited to get to work with Coach Venables. I mean, it's going to be a great partnership. He's a great coach. You know, just over the years, seeing him at Clemson. I don't go way back to when he was here at Oklahoma the first time. I wasn't in this part of the country, but watching him do his thing and teach guys on the field and motivate those guys at Clemson was great. And I just want to come in and help him find really good players.
Shane, I think he hit on something really, really important there that is kind of obvious, I would think, but I don't think Oklahoma, and specifically Brent Venables, has got a real firm grasp on NIL and this new era of college football. But this is correcting an issue within your program.
Yep.
A lot of people won't admit, you know, but a lot of these guys have a big ego. I know the fans think the players got an ego. Hell, the coach has got a hell of a lot bigger ego than most of these players, I'll tell you that. And they get to these elite positions because they're damn good at their job. They've been very successful. They didn't luck their way into it. Unless maybe you're Lane Kiffin and your dad's a legend, but he's gotten better over time. I think he's elite now. But it's hard to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm not doing this correctly. We got to get this fixed. And it's not just Venables. I think it's Oklahoma as a whole doing that, bringing in Jim Nagy to be something that quite honestly they haven't been. And I think it reflected as such on the field last year.
I think you're right, man. I mean, we all work with guys like this, you know, gets promoted and then all of a sudden he becomes an asshole and they got time for you. It's like, dude, we were just smoking cigarettes 3 weeks ago in the break room. You know, it's like, not saying that I do that anymore, but I guess some of these, like you said, some of these guys feel like they're flawless, man, that once they got this job because of talent, some of it's just luck, but once you get in it, I think to make it the best, you've still got to critique yourself day in, day out. And that's what I like. When you see something not working, you fix it. And that's exactly what you said Venables is doing. And the defense, I mean, his ass is on the line, but who better to coach defense than Brent Venables? So I think that is, it's like, he knows that he's on a hot seat. He knows that his back's against the wall, and to get the best product, he's got to do what he's got to do. So I do like these moves here in the offseason for sure.
Yeah, and let's kick it gears to Oklahoma's biggest rival, Mizzou. Shade. Mizzou, Shade found a great clip. This is Tristan Newsome, who, if not for Diego Pavia, Tristan would be preparing for life in the NFL.
Yep.
But he's back at Mizzou. Shout out Diego Pavia. He wanted to say thanks.
Tristan, just wanted to ask you, you had this ability to come back for another year. What kind of went into that decision for you to cash in on this extra year?
First, I want to say thanks to Diego for, going about that business and giving all the JUCO guys another opportunity to play football. But for me, I just wanted to take a chance and invest in myself another year, with the coaches here. I feel like I created a great bond with my coaches and teammates. And also had another opportunity to further my education and, just get better in my game, perfect my craft.
Someone send that clip to Steve Sarkisian, who's bitch and moaned about this. I mean, my God, we're letting a guy come back, be a leader, get more education, and hopefully improve his NFL stock. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that? Come on.
Come on, Sark. What's up with you, man? Just let these kids play. Let them live for a minute. Because this may be the year. This may be the breakout year that he needed. And I love hearing these stories for sure. And Pavia, look at that tip of the arrow. He's changing everything over there.
And one other thing, real quick, I don't want to just breeze past Mizzou, but their defensive coordinator Corey Batoon spoke as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that interesting, but the highlight of it, he was asked about the guys watching the combine last week and Missouri players doing so well in it. And looks to be several Missouri players that are going to get drafted. This is after last year where they had five guys drafted just on the defense, I believe. So we're talking back to back years. We're going to have multiple guys drafted. Some of them, I saw Armon Membu. Someone had him in a draft, mock draft, like top five in the whole damn thing. So they are Credit Drink and company. They have like completely turned the narrative to where now they're sending guys to the NFL, and that's exactly something like Tristan Newsome. He wants to be that next guy, so he comes back because there's evidence. It's very easy to sell to someone, hey, we'll get you to NFL, whatever. But when you're doing it year after year, this is where Missouri's at right now. After 21 wins in two seasons, they have completely turned the narrative around.
Do you see his damn 40? I ain't ever seen a big boy move that fast. I mean, he's over 330 pounds, Mike. I mean, dude's absolutely hot. Could you imagine accidentally walking in the hallway at a hotel or something and he's doing that down the hall? You're dead. You are dead, or at least paralyzed.
I tried to get Shane to run the 40 at SEC Championship. He wouldn't do it.
No. Buddy, the fastest 40 I ever ran was in the 5 seconds, and I may have cheated. I don't know. I may have even done 35 yards. I don't know. But I remember doing a thing at the high school. Very, very slow. Not fast at all. But I love watching these guys because they're just – it seems like every year they're getting – like we're getting crazier and crazier numbers, I watched Tate Ratledge today, even though I'm not a fan of the whole deal, but – Georgia slowed it down and put some music to it. And I'm watching him run this 40. Like, I was like, damn, how's a big guy this big running that fast, And why is his hair not moving?
All right, hey, last one I got for you. Offensive coordinator down in Alabama, Ryan Grubb.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the offensive coordinator last year. We all know he went to Seattle. He was getting peppered, Shane. Why'd you go to the NFL? Why'd you come back? Why did you come when Nick Saban offered you the job? I mean, they're getting in depth down there in Alabama, but who cares about all that? I want to know his thoughts on the quarterback competition. And it sounds like he is really impressed with Ty Simpson and the strides he made. Yeah, I know it's very early, but from day one to day two here.
A lot of things. I think that they each, just like any quarterback, have their own individual, you know, strengths and weaknesses. And I think, you know, Ty has done a good job. I thought he had the biggest jump from day one to day two, just as far as like being able to take in all the information, process quickly and move. Austin's done a really good job of you know, showing command for a young player. And then Keelan is awesome, man. He's very unflappable. And, you know, even when things don't go right, and they invariably will for a freshman quarterback, I think he's done an awesome job of just kind of staying the course and being very steady. So, and he can make a lot of plays. Ty is like I said, I think he's really improving. The thing I like and appreciate about Ty already that I can tell is he's very serious, you know, about wanting to succeed. You know, and I think he's had the mindset that he's been ready, you know, in that he's kind of waiting in the wings, so to speak. So I think for me, it's just, you know, I know that he's committed to the process. And I think that that's what makes great quarterbacks. As long as he understands that it's going to take a little bit and he's got to be committed to those steps, he's going to do great.
All right, Chad, you ready to name Ty Simpson QB1?
I do. I mean, this is less and less. We don't see that. This is what they used to do. Sit there, wait and wait and wait their opportunity. You got to remember, yeah. Ty was highly, highly recruited, and he sat there through a coaching change and everything. So, yeah, I'm ready for the kid to get a shot, you know, because I do think he deserves it. And but he could lose it quick, you know, because Bama's schedule is not easy, and there are some tough games there in that September mark. But at this moment, I want to give him the shot, but it's tough when you keep hearing the – you know, this freshman coming in, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what we do, grass greener scenario, you know, and I'm ready for the next guy up, but I think Ty is the next guy.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of very hard not to root for guys like that, you know what?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, he may be, I'm not saying the best Bama quarterback ever, but he may be the one that gets them back to the playoff mix, and at the end of the day, that's what you want. So I just love that he stuck around. You just don't see it that often.
Right. All right, Shane. So, hey, that's all I got on this episode of the show. You got anything before we hop off the line?
No. Again, have those notifications on. We're going to have a wild weekend and even crazier next week. So a lot of cool stuff coming up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody that's hanging out with us and that has subscribed. We're so damn close to 30,000, Mike. I'm stealing phones over here at Best Buy so we can get our our views up. But I appreciate everybody, and I can't wait to see some of you next week when we get down there in Nashville.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you as always. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.